joy as a word is not something that, you know, like leaders think about give joy. It might be something that leaders need to think a lot more about.
It's just that the numbers don't lie. And people are saying, I don't expect to be spending more than, let's say, 37% of my time doing collaborative work because it doesn't work.
And often the types of work managers do involves more collaboration in some areas where individuals may do a lot more of their own work. They're working on their own and then they collaborate, they work on their own, collaborate. Managers are in more meetings, managers are doing more of that high level collaboration.
And that's the way it is.
Welcome to another episode of Team Anywhere, where we offer proven approaches and solutions to your most critical hybrid leadership challenges.
I'm your co-host on the West Coast of California, Mitch Simon.
And I'm your co-host on the Iberian Peninsula, Brett Putter.
And we invite you to join us to Team Anywhere. Hello and welcome to another episode of Team Anywhere. I'm Mitch Simon here on the West Coast of California, and Brett is on the Iberian Peninsula. How are you doing today, Brett?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Good, thanks, Mitch. It's good to be back and chatting to you.
Great, great. It's let's see, this weekend I went up to Sacramento, the beautiful capital city of California, and saw my son play a bunch of schools. He beat Stanford, so I was very excited about that. It was a good weekend for all. And what are you up to, Brett?
We did in South Africa. I'm originally from South Africa, so in South Africa we call barbecues braais. And so we had a braai, a big braai, with a whole group of friends, and it's sort of almost a ritual or some sort of religious experience among South Africans to stand, watch food cook and drink. So we did a lot of that, which was a lot of fun.
That's great, bringing South Africa to the Iberian Peninsula, brought to you by Brett Putter. All right. Well, what I'd like to do today is we've been talking, and there's an article that just came out. You actually mentioned it at the end of our last show. BCG came out with an article February 13th, 2024, so just a few days ago. And they talked about joy at work and the fact that if you promote joy at work, and I'm going to ask you actually, you know, the definition of joy, the components of joy, that you can actually cut your attrition down by 50%. I remember reading the book Joy at Work many, many years ago, and I did some workshops with John Frager at CBRE. It's interesting. That was maybe about 15 years ago. With hybrid, with the onslaught of generative AI, let's talk about a little bit about what are the components that in today, 2024, actually brings joy to work, and what are the ones we need to most pay attention to? Do you want to hit that off, Brett?
Yeah, sure. So I think there's what brings joy to work, and there's what removes joy from work is the other side of the equation. But if we look at what brings joy to work, I think for work to be joyful, it has to be interesting, it has to be challenging. So the work you do has to interest you, has to challenge you, has to push you a little bit or a lot. It has to be rewarding to complete it. And I think there's an element of it must be fun. It must be fun to do it and fun to do it with the people you're doing it with. So I think those are the components of joy, because you've got there's a growth element to it, there's a collaboration element to it, and there is a achievement element to it.
Great. You know, I want to dive in really right now into the collaboration aspect of it, because you know, podcast Team Anywhere, really, really focusing on the team aspect of, let's say, joy at work, when in fact, I don't know, some companies are never at work, and for most companies they're about, I don't know, 30% to 70% at work. How are some of the ways that we would build that sense of joy when many of us aren't with each other for most of the time that we're working?
So if you think about the requirements of joy, there are these pieces of the puzzle. It's got to be interesting, got to be challenging, got to be rewarding, it's got to be fun. And the fun part is where that collaboration piece comes in. And I think collaboration in this new world of remote work requires you need to think about collaboration on multiple levels. You need to think about the system that your organization has for collaboration. And then you have to think about how we collaborate in person, how we collaborate when we're not in person, and how we bridge the gap between those two. So collaboration used to be, oh, we're all in the office.
Right.
We're in physical proximity. Let's collaborate. But now it's there are a lot more elements to it.
So you mentioned three: in person, coming together, and then that gap when we go between in person and coming remote. Together. Yeah.
So there's in person, which is coming together. There's remote, and then there's the gap between the two.
So it was very interesting in the article. They spoke about the fact that there was a difference in the coming together in terms of time. The individual contributor thought that pretty much, they gave a percentage, but it was basically from a 40-hour week, about 14 hours of those 40 hours, what the individual contributor found, that 14 was like the magic number of hours that they wanted to actually come together. And the rest of the time, which is about, 36 hours, which is really over 3 days, they wanted to be left alone. And then, of course, there was a difference for the managers. The managers said, well, wait a minute. They like to see a collaboration time of about 45%, or let's say half the week together. So there's a discrepancy about what brings people joy. So you're talking about the system. From a systematic standpoint, there is a difference in what brings people joy based on where they at in terms of contribution as a worker, and how they see their time coming together or working apart as being more fulfilling and rewarding. So could you talk to us a little bit about that?
So when it comes to managers, I think we need to think about how they work and how individual contributors work. And often the types of work managers do involves possibly more collaboration in some areas where individuals may do a lot more of their own work. They're working on their own, and then they collaborate. They work on their own, collaborate. Managers are in more meetings. Managers are doing more of that sort of high level collaboration with their peers and lower down managers. So it makes sense that there is this disconnection almost between what managers and individual contributors want or expect. I think this actually also goes to this deeper point of managers wanting people to be in the office more because they think they need to be in the, they need to be they think individuals need to be in the office more to be collaborating as much as they are, but individuals aren't always collaborating as much as managers are. I think that's where the difference lies.
Yes, and there's the rub, isn't it? Because there is the rub in all of the data, let's just say, where managers who are, for the most part, and there's actually an idea in this article, managers for the most part are determining how much collaboration needs to go on. And there seems to be, like I said, the discrepancy between a manager sensing how much time the team needs to be together versus the individual contributor who, let's get back to joy, feels more reward, let's just say, because they're getting more stuff done when they're out of the office more than the manager actually prefers.
So let me ask you here, when we're talking about a manager, are we talking about leadership or are we talking about the team manager?
The article didn't go into a difference. I'm suspecting that it is the person running the team has a different sense of how much we need to get together versus an individual contributor.
I think if the person running the team is running their team well, they will know what their team needs.
Well, that now you're talking about a great manager. I mean, that's kind of the gist of the thinking. Now, what I've seen before, and it's actually based in the article, is that when we see, and I think we've talked about this before, Brett, when the company says, hey, this is what's best for our company, we will all be in the office X percent of the time, and that's the way it is. That's not as effective, let's say, as and what we know is when the teams actually decide. So
yeah, I think what we need to do is differentiate between leadership, managers, and teams.
Yes.
So I think this article I think talks about the leaders having a different perspective versus the managers, the individuals. And yes. So the data shows that the individual experiences more joy when the team works together in a way that is optimized for that individual and the team. And for that to happen, that team manager really has to know what they're doing. They need to be a good manager, and actually many managers aren't good managers because they were made managers for the wrong reasons and then not trained to be good managers. And so being a good manager means I can lead my team, but I also know what my team needs, and I can affect this collaboration no matter where my team is. And I think this whole point about that BCG are making around how we work is ultimately finding a way to create, to get the best environment for the best work from the individual.
Yes. And I think a lot comes down to, you know, you mentioned that the team manager needs to know what the individual contributors are doing. I think it really comes down to, in this framework of joy at work, is you need to ask the right questions, right? So if I ask the question to my direct report, you know, what do you prefer? That's going to be a different question than what do you need to be most effective, right? What are the elements of your job that you really, really love that provides the most results for you and the team? What are some of the activities that you do that are the most rewarding? And then also to ask the team, when we get together, what is it that you need from the team when we actually do get together? You know, a lot of it is, I always love Priya Parker's work, talking about when people come together. And, you know, her framework is, you really want to be intentional. I think we talked about this last time. You want to be exceptionally intentional about what it is that you're going to, the mood you're going to create, and then also the actions you're going to create. And I think that takes a lot more time and a lot more intention to figure out, okay, so we're going to get our team together. What does my team actually need when the team gets together?
Yeah. So I think this intentionality around teams getting together and what does the team need, and how do we then bring other teams together with our team so that we get that cross-departmental, cross-team interactions. There's a whole lot of thinking and intentionality that needs to be done. But I think if you take a step back, I don't know, have we discussed task-relevant maturity before?
Task-relevant maturity. We have not discussed task-relevant maturity. Let us discuss it now.
Hey, we're taking a quick break to remind you to support our podcast by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps us continue to bring you more engaging and thought-provoking content for leadership and remote work.
So task-relevant maturity jumps to mind here because task-relevant maturity is this framework for leading young or inexperienced employees, and if your employee has done this task before and has excelled at that task, they have high task relevant maturity. That means that they don't need training and they don't need monitoring. If an employee has not done this task before, and if they have they've done it but have not excelled at it, they've maybe done it once poorly, then it means that they need training and they need monitoring. And so if you know if your employee is a high task, high TRM or a low TRM, you then know, A, what they need to get the task done, and B, who they need to talk to get the task done. And so you may have, you'll be working on a project across the team that has multiple tasks for multiple people. And the really good leaders are able to put this chessboard in front of them and go, okay, I can see in a week's time, we're going to need to get the team together because we need to get the high TRMs together with the low TRMs to move this project forward. And so what really, really great remote work companies, the ones that are led really well, is that their leader, their managers take a project, break it down into tasks, and then literally the manager will sit there with each employee and go, where are you on this task? Low TRM, high TRM, so that I, as your manager, know how I can support you, train you, and monitor you. And this isn't about micromanagement. It's about monitoring based on circumstance. So as your TRM increases, I know to monitor you less because I know you can do it now. And so this, Andy Grove from Intel actually came up with this TRM framework and writes about it in his book, High Output Management. And it's such a clever way. Like many things in remote work, it takes a little bit of a different mindset, because we didn't need to think about TRM when we were in the office, because somebody would come to us and say, I don't know how to do this. Or you'd see they were struggling and you'd go and say, can I help? Or, you know, it would just naturally, but now you do. Now you have to think about tasks, because if the tasks aren't completed, the project doesn't get completed. And I think this leads back into the BCG stuff, because if I'm given a task and I don't know how to do it and I can't complete it, I have low joy. I do not experience joy. But if I'm given a task and somebody helps me, I find it interesting, it's challenging, it's rewarding to fulfill it, and somebody helps me so it's fun, then I have greater joy. And the next time I do the task, I do it better, so my joy increases. So this is that, you know, this idea of joy has lots and lots of deep, deep, deep roots that you have to sort of work your way through to understand that the root cause of joy in this new hybrid, flexible, remote working environment.
So managers, and also thinking about scale in terms of I guess the manager needs to consider when to bring the employees with low task relevant maturity, which is going to be changing all the time. As you grow in an organization, you're going to go up and down and up and down, right? You're going to be at a certain point. So then the manager will determine when we need to bring people in for training and when we could actually train virtually. Right. What are some of the skill sets that you think are most important that people need to come together to build that task maturity versus mentoring one-to-one through Zoom or Teams, or mentoring one-to-many over Zoom or Teams?
Yeah, so I see this as an and, not an or. So okay. So you're going to be doing Zoom and Teams or whatever it is, collaboration, mentoring, coaching, etc. But you're going to want to use the time, back to that intentionality, you're going to want to use the time in the office to overcome challenges that you can see ahead of you, because you can see these issues coming. You want to also bring the team, because if the team overcomes, can see they can overcome the challenges, when they're together, they will want to come back into the office. You won't be forcing them into the office. You know, at the moment, a lot of companies are struggling with how do we get people back into the office, because there's no intentionality and there's no, why should I? I've got a way going into the office, which is going to, I've got to do something with the kids. I've got to arrange something with the dog. I've got to get on the train. I've got to spend lots of money. I've got to get food somewhere, or I just stay at home, you know? And if you invite me into the office and I don't feel like we're moving the projects ahead, we're moving my side of the business forward, because my tasks, my responsibilities, I know what they are. And if I believe I can get that done without being in the office, why should I be in the office?
Correct.
But if you can show me that the project requires us to come together so that I can learn from you, my manager, Simon and Mitch, and the rest of the team can learn from one another and grow and develop, then I think there you've got joy can happen in that team environment. And then you can go for drinks afterwards.
That's great. You know, I see what you're sharing is it's kind of like the meta of great storytelling. So a manager is going to sense, you know, every story is boy meets girl or boy meets boy or girl meets girl. And then everything's great. And then we go into the challenges with the dragon. Then we overcome the dragon and everything is fine until the next dragon comes around. And it seems like a great leader has a lot of intentionality in writing the story, which is, hey, everybody, we've got this huge challenge ahead of us. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of take the challenge apart in our own separate places to kind of figure out what the challenge is. And then next month, we're going to come together and it's going to be awesome, because one of the things we're going to do is we're going to look at all of the different parts that are challenging and we're going to come up with solutions. And I know Ben over there and Wilma over there, you know, are really having some problems with this area, and we're going to get our heads together and really make this worthwhile and make this rewarding. I'm almost using a lot of your words for, you know, this is going to be challenging. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be rewarding because you're going to actually find some solutions. We're going to get new skills, almost like we're coming, you know, to learn how to sharpen our swords and go into battle again. So this is what I really see is there might be a natural flow, which is every quarter we're going to do this, but there might be a different type of flow, which is I'm looking ahead, I'm seeing some problems, and we need to come in and hunker down and tell a great story so that people will want to come in and tell their wife or their husband or their kids or their partner to say, hey, I'm going to the office for the next week because we're going to work on some really great stuff. It's going to be very rewarding. It's going to be very joyful. Then we're going to come back and then I can take those pieces off and do them by myself at home. But it seems like we need to do some much better storytelling and laying the foundation for that type of challenge and interest.
Yeah, I think so. I think the managing in this new world requires us to develop these new skills that we didn't need to develop because the story told itself in a way in the office.
Yeah. A great story though, Brett, was it? It wasn't necessarily a great story.
But if you listen to people, it really was. The leaders are saying it was the most amazing. It was the most amazing story ever. But actually, it wasn't, because there was the, you know, politics, backstabbing, bad breath, and you know, all of the things that happen. But yeah, I think this is to get back to this idea of you know, for me to find something interesting and challenging and rewarding means I need to be able to do it. I need to be able to actually find the reward. You know, I need to be able to take those steps. And if I'm inexperienced at this task or these three tasks, yes, it's going to be challenging. But actually, if the training is not set up properly and the documentation around the training isn't set up properly, it's going to be impossible. That won't be rewarding. And it'll remove all joy from my life because I'm new in the company and I'm stressed beyond all reason because I'm going to hold everybody up in this project. And I can't talk to anybody because I don't want to seem like I'm wasting people's time here. And some of these questions may be obvious to other people, but the system hasn't been, that system again, hasn't been designed for me and for the team.
Yeah, it's interesting to find the joy Because I think joy is coming out of the tailpipe, right? It's, you know, it's we're going to create joy. Now that's going to be difficult. The thing is, you look at your team, you look at your intended results for the quarter or whatever. And the manager's job is, you know, find the challenge. You know, what is our challenge? Find the reward, which really takes a lot of understanding each one of my employees and understanding how they look at reward. Because for some people, reward is, you know, that's incredible, Brett. Thanks you so much. For other people, reward is, you know, really diving into a big hairy problem and working like crazy and coming out and fixing it. And then designing how we're going to collaborate to do it together. Looking at collaboration of when we need to come together, when some of us need to come together, and actually when some of us need to fly and, you know, put your head down for the next day or week or month to really come to a solution. I'm walking away from this conversation is just to have so much more intention of almost like a Walt Disney of, you know, what's the story? How can we find the happiest place on earth? You know, how can we actually make this and design our systems? You mentioned systems that people will come away going, yeah, this is a really great ride.
Yeah. I think you've kind of encapsulated it really well there. I think one of the things that we haven't discussed that is probably worth just throwing in the mix is this idea of this Gen Z generation and the millennial generation have a higher expectation of joy mm-hmm. than, you know, when I was first started working, I was just very, very happy to have a job.
Correct.
Very overjoyed, you know, and boy, you know, sure, great, I'm on the ladder. With Gen Z, you don't think like that now. They could have side gigs. They could be wanting to become the next Mr. Beast kind of, you know, superstar in online entertainment. They've got all sorts of ideas and concepts that we didn't have, and I definitely didn't have when I was getting a job. And they have this expectation of, you know, purpose of there must be something bigger than it's not about making money. There must be something more. And so if company leaders can't create joy, they won't be able to hire this next generation. And in 5 years, I think there will be more Gen Z, employable Gen Z than the rest of us.
Yeah, the article basically said, you know, a recent survey of 1,000 office-based workers, and look at the article, nearly half of them are at least passively job searching. And those numbers are higher as you point out, as you go to the younger generation. So what is it? It's not 45%, it's actually 51% for people aged 25 to 34, and even higher for racial and ethnic minorities. People are expecting joy, and it seems like we need to create a course called, you know, how do you actually create joy at work for executives and mid-level managers, really? Because there definitely is a formula. I'm not so sure that, I guess I know for my generation, we wouldn't say, hey, boss, give me joy. But maybe Gen Z would say, you know, give me joy or give me death, right? You know, give me joy or I'm out. And so we really need to design for challenge. We need to design for reward. We need to design for collaboration that makes sense, that pulls people from their homes towards something great, and then pushes people back to their homes towards something great, and make it beneficial. It's just that the numbers don't lie, and people are saying, I don't expect to be spending more than, let's say, 37% of my time doing collaborative work because it doesn't work.
Yeah, I can't remember what the figures are. It's something like Gallup had a poll where 54% of Gen Z are not engaged at work and 15% are actively disengaged, I think it is.
Right.
It's Gen Z will account for You see, I've got this data here somewhere.
Checking on the data.
27% of the workforce, of the entire workforce, 27% of the entire workforce by 2025. So it's super crucial to engage them, get them interested, you know, challenge them, give them that rewarding experience and make it fun. It's super important to give them that joy. And I think the challenge with joy, though, is joy as a word is not something that, you know, like leaders think about, give joy.
Correct.
Well, not many. And I think it might be, it might be something that leaders need to think a lot more about.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a joyful experience. I want to thank you for the collaboration, Brett. It's been great. And yeah, and we're having a great time. We've never actually been on the same continent together that I know of. So thank you so much, Brett. And for all our listeners, if you want to dive in more to joy, then please reach out to us. You can reach me at msimon@simonalliance.com. You can reach Brett at
brett@culturegene.ai.
And you can also reach us through our podcast. Thanks so much. And we'll see you on our next episode of Team Anywhere.
Before we sign off for today, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us grow, and by subscribing, you'll be the first to know when our exciting next episode is available.